With that bit of adrenergic stimulation to the faculty and audience, we moved on to another case from Dr. Brenda Tal of Austin, Texas. The patient is a 55-year-old woman who was diagnosed 9 years ago with a 1.7 centimeter ER-positive node-negative tumor. Because the patient didn't tolerate tamoxifen, she was treated with terbinafine, which she received for 5 years. A couple of years later, she developed persistent back pain, and after multiple workups by orthopods in the community over a 15-month period, she was finally diagnosed with widespread bone and liver mets. A biopsy revealed ER-positive HER2-negative disease, and Dr. Tal describes her conversation with the patient.
I talked it up that this is a slow-growing tumor. It waxed and waned for at least 15 months with your symptoms. Really felt very encouraged that she'd have a good long remission with hormonal therapy. And her pain did resolve within a few weeks. And she did well with a shrinkage of the pulmonary nodules at about 3 or 4 months. And then another 3 or 4 months down the road, did another CAT scan to follow up those pulmonary nodules. And they were still very small, but she was showing new liver metastases. And by CAT scan, she was allergic to contrast, so it was vague by CAT scan. PET scan showed really quite extensive liver disease.
So Joyce, let's hear your thoughts.
She's a bit unusual because she did have a 9-year disease-free interval with ER-positive, HER2-negative disease, took 5 years of the terbinafine, and then when she recurred, soft tissue disease, bone with back pain, lung recurrence. I agree with Brenda. I would have thought this was quite indolent disease as well, but she had a relatively modest response to an AI for somebody with that kind of disease-free interval and then had developed the liver metastasis. I presume she had been treated with an IV bisphosphonate as well as the AI, so she clearly needs a change of therapy, and I certainly would be thinking about chemotherapy for her. And here's where I kind of vacillate, and I kind of have to assess each patient individually to decide whether I want to go with single-agent capecitabine or whether I want to go with a doublet, you know, either capecitabine, docetaxel or paclitaxel, gem paclitaxel, paclitaxel bevacizumab, or nab-paclitaxel bevacizumab. Those would be the options I would be considering. And generally speaking, with ER-positive disease, if it's fairly asymptomatic and not too heavily tumor burdened with end organ involvement, rising liver function tests, or significant symptoms, I still generally go with capecitabine, although this patient would be a little borderline in my mind in the sense that she really hasn't benefited tremendously from endocrine therapy, because I find the greatest benefit of capecitabine in the patients who have done very well on endocrine therapy for some time and then become resistant to it. If she had more virulent disease, which it sounds like the PET CT showed a great deal of liver metastases, then I would be a bit more concerned about that, and I think I would probably be inclined to agree with the first opinion with the nab-paclitaxel and bevacizumab. So I do like capecitabine. We've seen that with the addition of the bevacizumab to the paclitaxel, we're getting up into quite good response rates, you know, more than a doubling. But I think the thing we're most impressed with, and I think what probably swings most of us to use the bevacizumab early in the course of metastatic disease is this progression-free survival, because it is the longest increment we've seen in any kind of a chemotherapy study. So outside of endocrine therapy, which can get patients really long progression-free survival, I think this is what kind of sways us to use this for our patients. And then we were all interested to see the comparison of the every 3-weekly nab-paclitaxel with docetaxel in a first-line setting, randomized phase 2, 75 patients per arm with 100 per meter weekly, 3-on-1-off, 150 per meter weekly, 3-on-1-off, and then full dose docetaxel in first-line metastatic breast cancer. And the 2-weekly formulations really didn't differ from each other with regard to response rates, but were definitely better than the 300 per meter every 3-weekly nab-paclitaxel, and better than what heretofore has been a very powerful taxane, the 100 per meter of the docetaxel. So this really tells us that there's some hopes that the nab-paclitaxel may be superior to our best heretofore ways of giving docetaxel and paclitaxel. And we've just recently finished accrual in the U.S. Oncology Network to a phase 2 trial of weekly nab-paclitaxel at 130 per meter, 3-on-1-off with the bevacizumab. We should have those data at ASCO, but it's been well tolerated and rapidly accrued. So I think that now that I've heard Brenda discuss the patient more, I guess I'm a little more concerned about her liver metastasis and the fact that she really was not a very long remitter with endocrine therapy. So I think I would be more inclined to go with taxane and bevacizumab. And I think that the first opinion of nab-paclitaxel bevacizumab is very reasonable. Our experience has been quite good. And so I think I'd be comfortable with that.
After Dr. O'Shaughnessy's comments, I queried the faculty about the question of choice of taxane in the metastatic setting, and also Dr. O's comments about nab-paclitaxel and the potential for improved anti-tumor response and lack of need for steroid premedications.
There's no question but that if we could eliminate steroids entirely from treatment along with chemotherapy, it would make most of our patients happy. I think the question here is nab-paclitaxel plus bevacizumab equivalent to, inferior to, or superior to. It's hard for me to imagine that it would be inferior to. I suspect it's equivalent to. I can't eliminate the possibility it's superior to.
Joe?
I'm not convinced that we actually need to give the doses of corticosteroids that we routinely give with cremophore-based paclitaxel. We routinely will give the 10 milligram dose of dexamethasone and then routinely cut down to 4 milligrams weekly. We are now routinely cutting down to 4, and if a patient has a problem, we'll try to cut down even further.
Joyce, there's a study by Ian Tanak that looked at the issue of steroid premedication. They actually found that 75% of these patients had, on their scale, significant problems, and most of it was agitation and sleeplessness. Joyce, is that a real problem? You know, I wonder whether maybe that even contributes to the fatigue of chemotherapy. I mean, you can't sleep all night.
Yeah, no, I think it's a problem, and I think if you take care of a lot of young women, they fight you on the steroids. They don't want them. They feel it makes them gain weight. And no, I mean, I think it does create some muscle atrophy, and they're up all night and then they're down the next day. Unfortunately, it only takes one, you know, it only takes one, but one of my colleagues in Dallas had a node negative, triple negative patient who was getting dosed NAC followed by weekly paclitaxel, thankfully getting H1, H2 blockers and 10 of dexamethasone every single week. She anaphylaxed and died on the 8th or 9th week. So though I sometimes do what Joe does too, which is cut down to 4, those things stay in your head, you know. And the crash cart was right there and they really tried to resuscitate her, but she died. This was about a year ago. So I think, you know, the answer to your question is that I think I do, you know, gut feeling. It's just that, you know, if I really want to try to minimize toxicity, neuropathy, and be able to go as long as I can, I would have a slight nod towards the NAB.
Dr. Tal then provided follow-up on her patient.
I did put her on the 100 per meter squared on the nab-paclitaxel with the Avastin. Week 2, we had to use growth factors. We got a neutropenia. Week 3, she was good. The second cycle, we got through 2 weeks. By the third cycle, she was neutropenic again. Her symptoms resolved probably within a week to 2 weeks of starting her first cycle of treatment. Her nausea was gone, discomfort was gone, and she said she felt better than she had in quite some time.